Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, February 21st, 2020. Coming up this hour,
global stocks fall as the coronavirus outbreak spreads.
Cases in China climb back above 75,000, while South Korea and Japan confirm more infections.
The death toll in China passes 2,200 as new questions surface about data coming out of Beijing.
Intelligence officials reportedly say Russia is interfering in the 2020 election to help President Trump bless preparation for tomorrow's Nevada caucuses. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm Rob Buschka. Coming up in sports, the Nets lose in more ways than one, a setback at Yankees camp, and the Devils with a late winner at home.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
And good Friday morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. futures are falling this morning. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 12 points, Dow futures down 98, NASDAQ futures down 41, the DAX in Germany is down 0.1%, CAC in Paris is down 0.2%, and the FTSE 100 is down the same. Nikkei 225 in Japan down 0.4% today, the Hang Seng in Hong Kong dropped 1.1%. 10-year Treasury up 9/32, yield 1.48%, the yield on the two-year 1.37%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.6% or 88 cents at $53 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 1% or $16.20 at $16.36.70 an ounce. The euro 1.0801 against the dollar, and the yen is at 111.82. Nathan.
And Karen, there are fresh concerns about data coming out of China on the coronavirus. Hubei province is once again revising the number of cases, increasing its tally on new infections just hours after publishing a lower count. Here with details is Bloomberg's Tom McKenzie in Beijing.
China isn't going to win any awards for data transparency, right? They changed their methodology twice. So just bear that in mind when I run through the latest numbers, as you say, from Hubei. So 411 additional infections, 115 additional deaths, and 1,200 or thereabouts suspected cases. So if you combine the suspected cases and the 411 confirmed cases, those are both higher than the number of people being discharged, and they're both not higher as well, those numbers, than the data sets that we got out yesterday.
And that brings the number of infections in China back above the 75,000 mark. Fatalities, meantime, are now above 2,200.
The number of coronavirus cases is also rising in nearby countries. Total infections in South Korea are now above 200, and we're seeing a similar trend in Japan. We get more from Bloomberg's Yvonne Mann in Hong Kong.
Japan also seeing a spike up in cases, more than doubling now to 84. Keep in mind these numbers discount the number of cases on that Diamond Princess cruise held off in Yokohama, but still alarming because the concern is that most of these cases in the country have no travel history to China. So this has been transmitted locally.
More than 1,000 passengers who tested negative for the virus are leaving that Diamond Princess cruise ship, while about 1,000 people remain on the vessel.
The spread of the outbreak has sparked fresh concern in Asian markets overnight. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us now from Singapore with details. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. South Korea's KOSPI fell 1.5%. Weak South Korean export data also weighed on the won, which tested October lows, and also hurting sentiment were gauges of manufacturing in Australia and Japan. And in another example of just how much the virus is hurting consumption, the Passenger Car Association of China reported that car sales in China were down 92% in the first half of February. Over the course of the week, the MSCI Asia Pacific Index was down more than 2% as investor anxiety over the virus remains. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thank you. And Bloomberg customers can get the latest on the coronavirus outbreak. Just type VRUS Go on the terminal.
Meantime, data out of Europe show the region remains resilient in the face of the virus. Bloomberg's Sebastian Salek joins us live from London with the latest economic reading from the euro area. Good morning, Sebastian.
Good morning, Karen and Nathan. Eurozone economic activity unexpectedly accelerating to the fastest pace in 6 months in February. The region's composite PMI edged up to 51.6, signalling quarterly economic growth of about 0.2%. Manufacturing shrank at a lower pace than before. Services held up, but in one worrying development, inflows of new business into the sector grew more slowly than in the previous 2 months. Live in London, I'm Sebastian Salek, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Sebastian, thanks. Up next, we get a PMI reading for U.S. manufacturing at 9:45 a.m. Wall Street time. Economists predict the gauge will slide for a third month. Here with more is Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice.
Markets factory PMI rebounded in the third quarter into the fourth and then lost some ground, signaling slower growth in December and January. Data this week from the Federal Reserve Banks of New York and Philadelphia suggests manufacturing could be stabilizing after struggling through 2019. Also on today's data agenda, January existing home sales. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thank you. On the corporate front, it looks like Morgan Stanley's purchase of E-Trade might start the clock on James Gorman's departure. The CEO wants to see the deal through, but then he tells us it'll be time to pass the torch.
You know, I want to see this thing get done. I want to see it get implemented, and you know, I'll be around for a few years to see that happen. But no, the future is not me after a few years. It's the next team, which it should be.
As for the deal, Gorman says it's a no-brainer. He expects it to boost Morgan's digital offerings and improve its equities trading business.
We just put at risk 4.5 months of last year's earnings to buy an iconic institution with $600 billion of assets, $3 billion of revenues that's going to improve all of our financial models. This is a no-brainer from that perspective.
And shares of Morgan Stanley fell 4.5% yesterday. They're down another 0.25% this morning.
And we're getting a look at farm equipment demand right now when Deere is reporting quarterly earnings. Here with a preview, Bloomberg's Larry Kofsky.
Fiscal 2020 is expected to get off to a slow start for the company. Deere has reduced production to work through excess inventory amid weaker demand. Analysts are forecasting a 17% decline in earnings. Revenue could fall by more than 10%. Larry Kofsky, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Larry, thank you. And those earnings are just crossing the Bloomberg. Deere reporting net sales for the first quarter that was 4% above the average analyst estimates. And we'll be keeping an eye on those shares this morning. Futures this morning, meanwhile, are moving lower. S&P futures down about 14 points. Dow futures down 111. And NASDAQ futures down 48. The euro at 1.0797 against the dollar. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
All right. Thank you, Karen. It's 6:07 on Wall Street. And Michael Barr is here with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Good morning. Intelligence officials are said to have warned lawmakers that Russia is interfering in the 2020 election campaign to help President Donald Trump get reelected. The warning was first reported by the New York Times and Washington Post. A senior administration official said it infuriated Trump, who complained that Democrats would use the information against him. Speaking at a CNN town hall last night in Las Vegas, former Vice President Biden says it seems to him that the intelligence community and everyone but President Trump believes Russia is interfering with the U.S. election process.
Not surprised at all. I was deeply involved in the intelligence community when I was in the when I was vice president. We knew it then. They've been involved. They continue to be involved. I guarantee you they're involved. And the fact is that I expect whoever did that briefing is about to be fired.
Biden also pledged not to run for a second term if he's not healthy enough to do the job. There is late word the U.S. plans to sign a peace agreement with the Taliban. That will take place on February 29th. President Trump said he wouldn't immediately pardon his former associate, Roger Stone, but indicated he would intervene in the case if courts don't overturn his conviction. President Trump told people at the Hope for Prisoners graduation in Las Vegas his longtime friend was a victim of a biased jury.
The forewoman of the jury, the woman who was in charge of the jury, is totally tainted. When you take a look, how can you have a person like this? She was a anti-Trump activist.
Stone was sentenced yesterday to more than 3 years in prison for lying to Congress and tampering with a witness. The caucus counters in Nevada are hoping last-minute training classes will head off serious trouble calculating and reporting results of tomorrow's presidential contest. Bloomberg's Bob Moon reports.
It's a state that knows something about spotlights and putting on a show.
I ask for the vote of the people of Nevada.
Right here in Nevada.
Nevada, I'm asking for your vote.
But the national spotlight can be withering when something goes wrong. Just ask Iowa, which may explain why party leaders in Nevada are cautioning results of the presidential nominating contest may not come quickly. They had originally planned to use the same reporting app that Iowa Democrats used. Now the Democratic National Committee says monthly we're not using the app anymore. They're using a calculator. Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. Just before 6:10 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with Rob Buschka.
Good morning, Nathan. It was a double dose of bad news for the Nets. First of the action on the floor. Big effort for the Nets goes unrewarded. They fall to the best home record in the game, 112-104 in overtime, pushing the Sixers to 26-2 at home. Joel Embiid led the Sixers with 39, Spencer Dinwiddie 22 in the loss. To make matters worse, Kyrie Irving announced he's having season-ending shoulder surgery. The Knicks, they open their second half at home tonight against the Pacers at 7:30. Devils, they leaned on one of the game's most savvy veterans late at home.
Gusev back for Subban. At the circle, he scores! PK through a screen! A power play goal, and the Devils have the lead for the first time tonight.
MSG Network's on the call. They edge the Sharks 2-1. Devils and Rangers currently out of the playoffs. The Islanders tied for the final postseason spot. Rangers skate in Carolina at 7. Islanders host the Red Wings at 8. Baseball. Yankees pitcher Luis Severino has forearm stiffness dating back to the ALCS, according to skipper Aaron Boone. He's been shut down from throwing. There's no timetable for his return. Mets and Yankees open their spring schedules on Saturday. College basketball, an easy win for number 2, Gonzaga. 14th-ranked Oregon upset at Arizona State, 18th-ranked Colorado a winner, as was number 23, BYU, while 20th-ranked Iowa upset at home by Ohio State. Tennis, Roger Federer will miss the French Open with knee surgery. In golf, Rory McIlroy at 6-under leads the WGC in Mexico after round one. And that's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Nathan?
And Rob, tune in tonight for the Bloomberg Business of Sports Show when we speak with Bob Arum, the big-time boxing promoter, weighs in on this weekend's fight between Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury. Catch that conversation tonight at 7 and tomorrow at 11 a.m. on Bloomberg Radio or subscribe to the Bloomberg Business of Sports podcast. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. And it's brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit a Tri-State Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and on Quick Take by Bloomberg. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. It is 6:17 on Wall Street, and Bloomberg Daybreak is out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines with Hannah George at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning, Karen. 10-year Treasury yields tumbled below 1.5% as the coronavirus outbreak accelerates outside of China. South Korea is reporting a surge in infections, while China adjusted its number of cases for the third time this month. Wells Fargo will fork out about $3 billion to settle federal probes into consumer abuses. That's according to a source who says the bank isn't expected to plead guilty to a crime. T-Mobile and Sprint have agreed to new terms on their combination. T-Mobile owners will get about 11 Sprint shares for each of theirs, up from 7.75. And hardliners in Iran are set to take control of parliament today. That's as the country's election is dominated by a turbulent standoff with the United States. For the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen.
Hannah, thank you. And this Business Flash brought to you by IBKR, the professional's gateway to the world's markets. Their clients enjoy lowest cost access to stocks, options, futures, forex, and fixed income from a single integrated account. Learn more at IBKR.com. We do have earnings from Deere & Company out just 10 minutes ago. The farm equipment maker posting results that beat estimates and is keeping its forecast for the year unchanged. Net sales for the quarter were 4% above estimates, and shares of Deere are up 1.4% in early trading. While its forecast for the year remains intact, Deere sees sales of agriculture and construction equipment this year coming in well below estimates. S&P futures lower, down 14 points. Dow futures down 111, and NASDAQ futures down 50. The DAX in Germany is down 0.2%. 10-year Treasury up 8/32, yield 1.48%, and the yield on the 2-year 1.37%. NYMEX crude oil is down 2% on $1.09 to $52.78 a barrel, and COMEX gold up 1% or $16.40 at $16.36.80 an ounce. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, classified briefing to House members warned that Russia is meddling to re-elect President Trump. The briefing, first reported in the New York Times and Washington Post, is said to have angered the president and is concerned Democrats will use it against him. There's late word the U.S. plans to sign a peace agreement with the Taliban at the end of the month. Some of the presidential candidates will do some last-minute campaigning tonight in Nevada before tomorrow's caucuses. Bernie Sanders, Pete Buttigieg, and Tom Steyer are among those planning to hold rallies. In sports, the Nets lost in overtime in the NBA. The Warriors also lost. In the NHL, the Devils won. The Capitals lost in overtime to the Canadiens. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. 6:20 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Now more on our top story, the coronavirus entering a new phase. The vast majority of infections are still in China, more than 75,000 there. But South Korea has reported more than 200 cases. Singapore and Japan each have more than 85. And millions in China are still under travel restrictions. So we're starting to see economic effects even at the most basic levels. Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Rashad Salamat has more from Hong Kong.
Ultimately, who would go out shopping for a car when you've got this going on? I mean, this is just it. And, you can say that perhaps they'll buy a car next month or the month after. But a two-year cycle is normally when you replace your vehicle. That's going to delay things as well. So looking down the line, this is actually going to affect people.
A new report out of China says car sales there plunged 92% in the first 2 weeks of this month. It may still be too soon to gauge the broader economic impact of the virus, but analysts are watching closely. Mona Mahajan is a U.S. investment strategist at Allianz Global Investors.
Generally, the consensus is Q1 GDP growth globally will be hit pretty dramatically. Of course, the areas that will be hit most, China, Hong Kong, Asian partners, then Europe, and I think that that region generally are large trading partners with China in particular. The U.S., a little bit more isolated from a trading perspective, but still, you know, when you think about those second order impacts, the supply chain impacts, that's really where I think the rising concern is in the markets.
If Chinese manufacturing is delayed beyond March, Mahajan says there could be an outsized impact in the U.S. But Asia remains the focal point of concern. And with South Korea confirming 48 more cases today alone, economists are already warning of significant disruption there. Sean Roach is chief Asia-Pacific economist at S&P Global Ratings.
From what we've seen so far, and assuming that we see the virus contained around March or April, will be to shave about 0.5 percentage points off overall growth. That's going to bring growth again below 2% for Korea this year, and it's going to set back the recovery that we were all hoping to see, at least until 2021.
Roach is predicting 2 rate cuts from South Korea's central bank this year. The airline industry is bracing for a 13% drop in travel demand this year. That could mean up to $29.3 billion in lost revenue. Alexander Dejuniak is CEO of the International Air Transport Association. He tells Bloomberg the bulk of that decline should be centered in Asia.
If the outbreak spreads, which is not likely to happen, apparently, if we follow what we do every day with the World Health Organization, it should be limited to that region and be very, very strictly limited for the airlines and the activity outside the Asia-Pacific region.
The industry group says global air traffic could be nearly 5% lower this year. That would be the first overall decline in demand since the global financial crisis. China is vowing to keep its growth targets where they are despite the outbreak. The People's Bank of China is injecting liquidity into markets. Beijing is promising fiscal stimulus as well, including cuts to fees and corporate taxes. Still, Brookings senior fellow Eswar Prasad says those measures might not be effective.
If the People's Bank of China continues to inject liquidity, you might well end up with a situation where you still have a lot of investment that is not very productive, but at the same time, the smaller firms that are the much more dynamic ones, but also much riskier, of course, are the ones that end up suffering a lot more.
Prasad says that could leave China with little stimulus in terms of productivity and employment, along with longer-term financial risks. As more companies face disruptions during the outbreak, they may be looking at their insurance to cover losses. Finley Harcum at Anderson Kill says that's where commercial property insurance policies come into play.
Most big companies have them, and these policies provide coverage not only for property damage to your own premises, but they also provide coverage for lost earnings called business interruption coverage.
Harcum says there has to be property damage for this type of coverage to kick in, but he says the coronavirus could qualify particularly on a cruise ship. Bloomberg Terminal customers can follow all the latest news on the coronavirus outbreak. VRUS Go is the function on the Bloomberg Terminal. S&P futures lower by 14 points now. Dow futures down 114. NASDAQ futures lower by 50 points. 10-year Treasury yield 1.48%. This is Bloomberg. And it's 6:25 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by National Realty. NRIA, developers of high-return income-producing properties for investor partners. See them at NRIA.net.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are falling as worry over the coronavirus creeps back into the markets. The number of cases in China is back above 75,000, but it's the spread elsewhere that's causing fresh concern. We get the very latest from Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis in Hong Kong.
From the understandable, the WHO wants more funding, to the odd, South Korea has 52 new infections, most of them in a religious sect in Daegu. To the truly bizarre, China's Shandong province finds 200 cases in a single prison. Add to that, 59 Hong Kong police officers are quarantined after a colleague was infected. Now, investors appear to have discounted a peak in infections in China, but they're troubled by the reliability of the data, the spread in Asia, and the relentless new warnings from companies. Anxiety back in global markets. In Hong Kong, Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Brian. Declines in manufacturing data out of Japan and Australia are also adding to concern about a slowdown in economic growth, as is weak export data from South Korea. Isaac Poole is chief investment officer at Oriana Financial.
The risk is really skewed to the downside. What we see in China and Asia is there is a supply side impact from the virus. There is a demand side impact from the virus. Both of these are going to play out longer than the impact of the virus itself.
Gold is gaining, oil sliding, and Treasury yields are falling for the fifth day in seven sessions. Right now, the 10-year yield is just shy of 1.49%.
In Europe, the latest PMI data show the region remains resilient in the face of the virus. Eurozone economic activity unexpectedly accelerated in February. A composite purchasing managers index edged up to 51.6, signaling quarterly economic growth of about 0.2%.
And it's a similar story in the UK with a better than expected PMI reading for February. British manufacturing output grew at the fastest pace in 10 months, offsetting a small decline in services.
And on the earnings front, Deere & Company is out with results that beat estimates. The farm equipment maker is also keeping its forecast for the year unchanged. That is, shares of Deere up 1.5% on very thin volume. Futures this morning are lower. S&P futures down 12 points. Dow futures are down 94. NASDAQ futures down 42. The DAX in Germany is down 0.1%. 10-year Treasury up 7/32, yield 1.48%. And the yield on the two-year, 1.37%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.9% on $1.04 to $52.85 a barrel. The euro, 1.0803 against the dollar. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. It's 6:33 on Wall Street. And this news update is brought to you by Land Rover. The Own the Adventure sales event is happening now until March 31st. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for details on the new Discovery Sport, Land Rover Above and Beyond. Here's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, Nathan. According to several media outlets, including the New York Times and Washington Post, Russia has backed President Donald Trump's election. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter says the president reportedly fears Democrats will exploit it.
This reportedly was a classified briefing in which intelligence officials warned House lawmakers that Russia was interfering in the 2020 campaign to get Mr. Trump reelected. New York Times reporter Maggie Haberman.
The president's argument was that Adam Schiff, the ranking Democrat on the House Intelligence Committee, would use this information against him in some way. That was basically his main complaint.
During the briefing, Trump allies argued that Mr. Trump had been tough on Russia in a number of different ways. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
President Trump says his longtime friend and campaign advisor Roger Stone has been treated unfairly by the justice system. Stone yesterday was sentenced to more than 3 years in prison by a federal judge for lying to Congress and witness tampering.
They say he lied, but other people lied too. Just to mention, Comey lied. McCabe lied.
President Trump speaking at the Hope for Prisoners graduation in Las Vegas says he wouldn't immediately pardon Stone, but indicated he would intervene in the case if the courts don't overturn his conviction. There's late word the U.S. plans to sign a peace agreement with the Taliban. That will take place on February 29th. Democratic presidential candidate Elizabeth Warren says mental health is an issue long overlooked. Senator Warren spoke during a CNN town hall last night.
Schizophrenia is a health problem in America. Bipolar disorder is a health problem in America. Suicide is a problem in America that we all need to address.
Meanwhile, Joe Biden, also at a Las Vegas town hall event, says he prefers the primary system to that of caucuses. It comes as Nevada Democrats are holding last-minute training classes to train volunteers to calculate and report results of their presidential caucus tomorrow. They're trying to avoid a repeat of the debacle with Iowa's caucuses earlier this month. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. 6:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Good morning, Rob Buschka.
Good morning, Nathan. Brooklyn not only fell in overtime, 112-104 in Philadelphia, they made it official. Point guard Kyrie Irving is done season-ending shoulder surgery. He played in 20 games but was one of three players to have multiple 50-plus point games. Sixers got 39 from Joel Embiid to improve to a league-best 26-2 at home. New York opens their second half at the Garden tonight versus Indiana. Tip-off is 7:30. Frozen Floor. P.K. Subban picked up New Jersey late as they beat San Jose 2-1 at the Prudential Center. Mackenzie Blackwood had 36 saves. Both New York teams skate tonight. Rangers visit Carolina at 7, followed by the Islanders hosting Detroit at 8 o'clock. Baseball news. Yankees pitcher Luis Severino is shut down with forearm stiffness. General manager Brian Cashman.
It's all possible. Our approach to this discussion with you today is, you know, when Aaron addressed it, you know, was make sure we put out on the table that everything's possible because there's an unknown right now.
Severino apparently felt discomfort dating back to the ALCS. Grapefruit League play begins on Saturday. NFL, the owners have approved the new CBA. They'll now present it to the Players Association. College basketball, number 2 Gonzaga rolled. 12th-ranked Oregon lost at Arizona State, coached by former St. Anthony's High School star and Duke standout Bobby Hurley. Wins for ranked teams, Colorado, BYU, and Arizona. 20th-ranked Iowa was dropped by Ohio State. Tennis, Roger Federer to miss the French Open with knee surgery. And golf, Rory McIlroy at 6-under leads the WGC in Mexico through 18 holes. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Nathan?
Thank you, Rob. It is 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
More older Americans are on the job and dying there, too. I'm Justin Fox, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. U.S. workplaces are much safer than they used to be. You're about 1/18th as likely to get killed on the job now as American workers were in 1913, for example. Over the past decade, though, occupational deaths have been on the rise. An improving economy is one reason. The aging of the American workforce is another. Those 55 and over, and especially those 65 and over, are much likelier than younger workers to die from on-the-job injuries. Older people are more fragile. They're also more likely to fall and have run-ins with equipment and vehicles, especially tractors. Farmers and ranchers are the oldest occupational group in the U.S., and farming can be dangerous. Still, it's not all gloom and doom. Older workers do tend to live longer than their non-working peers. I'm Justin Fox. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And you can hear Bloomberg Opinion commentaries every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. It's just before 6:39 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report. Here's John Tucker.
As federal procurement spending increases, along with rising budgets, agencies continue to demonstrate a sustained commitment to small businesses. In fiscal year 2019, Uncle Sam raised overall small business contract spending to a record $131 billion. But Bloomberg government reporter Paul Murphy says with that good news also comes a note of caution.
Yeah, the nature of the contracting is changing. The nature of the markets is changing. At the same time, spending is going up. So the agencies are showing a strong commitment to small businesses, but that spending is changing and it's becoming ever more important for small businesses to pick the right opportunities.
While the dollar amount of spending is up, the number of small businesses winning contracts is at a 10-year low. It appears larger and fewer contracts are going to larger and fewer small businesses. And that's the Bloomberg Small Business Report. I'm John Tucker.
All right, John, thank you. Now, some other stories in big business we're following. More problems for Boeing's 737 MAX. The company failed to fix a warning light in the jumbo jet's cockpit. That lack of a warning was cited as a factor in the crash of an Indonesian 737 MAX. Boeing could end up facing millions in penalties from the Federal Aviation Administration. Tesla has gotten the go-ahead to resume clearing a forest in Germany. A Berlin court overturned an injunction blocking the electric vehicle maker from building a factory there. That ruling avoids the threat of a lengthy delay for the project. And HP is trying to block Xerox's hostile takeover bid. The company has adopted a shareholder rights plan that would make an acquisition more difficult to carry out. HP says that encourages Xerox or any other potential buyers to negotiate with the board. S&P futures lower by almost 12 points now. Dow futures down 94. NASDAQ futures lower by 43 points. This is Bloomberg. The Bloomberg NBC Sports Report is brought to you by BMW. Test drive a BMW at your Tri-State BMW Center and receive exceptional offers on a new BMW. Visit them at tristatebmw.com. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and on Quick Take by Bloomberg. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. It is 6:47 on Wall Street, and futures this morning are lower. We go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. Like you said, U.S. futures are under pressure right now, but off their lows. Dow futures down 86 points, S&P's dropped 10, and NASDAQ futures declined by 38. The U.S. 10-year yield at 1.49%, gold trading higher by 15, and Shanghai rose 0.3% overnight, while European markets are also trading lower, led by losses in Italy. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 9:45, market U.S. manufacturing PMI, and at 10 o'clock, existing home sales. After the bell last night, First Solar missed estimates. Shares are down 16% in the pre-market, and Dropbox beat estimates. Shares are up 12% in the pre-market. Regarding earnings this morning, Deere revenue beat estimates. And in other news, Square's price target raised to $9.99 at Citigroup, while Domino's pizza price target raised to $3.75 over at UBS. Wrapping things up, L Brands was raised to outperform at Evercore ISI, CF Industries raised to overweight at JP Morgan, and Domino's cut to hold over at Stiefel. Live from the First Rebecca News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. And here live breaking news over your Bloomberg. Type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen reports about a new warning from intelligence officials to House members about Russia and the 2020 election is shaking up Washington and angered President Trump. A bipartisan group is said to have discovered potential evidence showing Russia plans to interfere in the 2020 campaign to help the president. China reports another drop in coronavirus cases as health officials expressed continued optimism over containment of the outbreak that has caused more than 2,200 deaths, but has grown elsewhere. China's total number of cases is at 75,465. In sports, the NBA resumed action after the All-Star break. The Nets lost in overtime. The Warriors also lost. In the NHL, the Devils won. The Capitals lost in overtime to the Canadiens. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg, competitive rock climbing is luring corporate donations and fueling a nationwide boom in gyms. USA Climbing, they did scrap its championship for members aged 11 and under, over concerns about their well-being, but the sport is set to make its Olympic debut.
Wow.
Nathan Howard Hain, whose 10-year-old daughter climbs, says events like this help children to dream.
Would you do this, Michael? Climb
had,
rocks?
Yeah, if they had chips and food on the, on the wall, yeah.
Heights, that's all I'm going to say. Have you seen El Capitan?
No.
At Yosemite
Park.
Oh,
yes, I have.
There's a sheer face.
Yes.
It is terrifying.
Oh, man. Well, as long as there's food, I'm good. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on quick take by Bloomberg. I like Pringles. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, and back to rock solid Nathan.
Oh, thank you so much, Michael. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. We're at 6:50 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include President Trump wrapping up his West Coast trip with a rally this afternoon in Las Vegas. Democrats holding their final full day of campaigning before tomorrow's caucuses in Nevada, and the president hinting he may intervene if Roger Stone's conviction isn't overturned. Also making news this morning, reports of an intelligence briefing on Capitol Hill that seem to have drawn President Trump's anger. For more, we're joined by Bloomberg U.S. politics editor Kathleen Hunter. And Michael alluded to these reports, Kate, in the New York Times, the Washington Post, now the Associated Press, about this Capitol Hill intelligence briefing last week that has to do with the 2020 election. What are these reports saying?
Yeah, so all the reports are saying that the gist of the briefing is that Russia is trying to interfere in the 2020 campaign to try to get Trump reelected. And so assertion is something, or that, you know, that information that was shared with lawmakers last week at this briefing is something that reportedly has generated the ire of President Trump, because you'll remember that he's said all along that he doesn't believe that Russia interfered on his behalf. That obviously runs counter to what U.S. intelligence agencies have been saying, but that certainly isn't something that Trump has been amenable to as a possibility. He claims that he won without any help from Russia. And so I think that, you know, this is something that reportedly he's pushing back hard against, and something that he was particularly aggrieved about because of reports that Adam Schiff, the House Intelligence Committee chairman, who also led the impeachment effort and who has a frosty, to put it mildly, relationship with Trump, was in the room for this briefing.
How is the president pushing back at these intelligence accounts, according to the reporting?
Well, according to the reporting, you know, he apparently was quite unhappy with the fact that the briefings did occur, and, you know, directed some of that ire at the outgoing director of national intelligence. And so we know that the president is now looking at replacing Mr. McGuire, who's the acting director, the acting DNI, with someone different. And so potentially with Doug Collins, who is a Georgia representative who is an ally of his during the impeachment crisis. And so it looks as though this is something that, you know, has prompted a rather strong response from the president, potentially.
What does the report say about how Russia is trying to get involved in the 2020 election? Because you would think that the type of interference that Russia's accused of carrying out in 2016 wouldn't necessarily be the same playbook.
No, not necessarily. And part of what the information that came forward allegedly, reportedly last week, is that, you know, part of what Russia's doing is interfering in the 2020 Democratic primaries, you know, in order to potentially disrupt those and keep the process dragged out longer than it might otherwise need to be. The implication there being that a drawn out Democratic primary makes it easier for Trump to gain reelection. And so that's something that, you know, Trump certainly has been himself pushing the narrative that Democrats are divided and that's going to potentially benefit him in 2020. But certainly then that the optics of that, to say the least, are not good for him if it comes out that Russia is, in fact, a part of that effort.
I want to move on to a very interesting scoop on the Bloomberg terminal this morning, a big Election Day ad buy on YouTube that a lot of voters could see come November.
Yeah, so this was a very interesting scoop by some Bloomberg reporters this morning. It sounds as though Trump's reelection campaign has essentially purchased the masthead portion of YouTube's homepage for the days leading up to the November 3rd election. And so that actually, is very, very, to put it mildly, very prime advertising space. And so that means that, you know, as voters are getting ready to head to the polls, we don't even know yet who the Democratic nominee is going to be, but that, you know, people who visit YouTube, which is the most viewed or the most visited video site in the world, will, undoubtedly, be seeing some advertising from the Trump campaign. So this is very, very primo advertising that the Trump campaign has purchased well ahead of time.
Yeah, certainly. And it says a lot not only about the importance of the digital campaign strategy that I think a lot of people in the Trump campaign have said was crucial to their victory, but it says something as well about the power of incumbency, right? Because it's not as though there's a Democratic nominee now who could make a similar purchase.
Well, absolutely. And I think that's the strongest point here. The biggest takeaway here is just the idea that, we know there is an inherent value to incumbency, and this demonstrates it very, very clearly that, even if the Democratic field weren't as divided as it is, it'd be unlikely there'd be a nominee at this stage. And so this, shows how the Republicans in this case, or Trump in this case, can get out well ahead of the Democrats in terms of locking down some of this advertising space, of which there's sort of a limited amount, and getting that teed up, well ahead of time while the Democrats are still fighting among themselves.
And speaking of that Democratic fight, we're a day away from the Nevada caucuses, a couple of days out now from the last debate. Where do things stand now in that race?
Well, I think the big thing to watch for in Nevada is that it's the first state that really has a significant minority population. And so I think, seeing how the candidates fare in that state is going to be very interesting. I wouldn't anticipate that at the end of the day, Nevada becomes much more than a table setter for South Carolina, which is a week later, followed very closely a couple days later by Super Tuesday, I don't think Nevada is necessarily going to make it clear who the eventual nominee is going to be, but I think it will give us some telltale signs in terms of how the various candidates do with minority voters, particularly with Latino voters. And so I think that those demographics and how the candidates fare with them is going to be essential in determining who might be the most electable. There's been a lot of claims about electability, but who fares the best with minorities will certainly give us an indication of who might be able to turn out the vote in those key demographics for Democrats on Election Day.
Bloomberg U.S. Politics editor Kathleen Hunter. Enjoy the weekend. We'll be watching the Nevada caucuses tomorrow, and you can read more about all this on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. ELEC Go is the function for all the latest on the Democratic primary race. Karen?
All right, Nathan, thank you. It is 6:56 on Wall Street. We continue to watch shares of Deere and Company. They are up 1.4% in thin early trading. The machinery giant delivering better than expected quarterly results and kept its outlook for the year unchanged. This as early signs of stabilization in the U.S. farm sector counter a construction slowdown. Futures this morning are lower. S&P futures down about 12 points. Dow futures down 103. NASDAQ futures down about 45. The DAX in Germany is down 0.1%. So is the CAC in Paris, and the FTSE 100 is down 0.2%. 10-year Treasury up 8/32. The yield 1.48%. The yield on the 2-year at 1.37%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.8%, down $1 to $52.88 a barrel. And COMEX gold is up 1.1% or $17.50 at $16.38 an ounce. The euro 1.0804 against the dollar. Bloomberg Surveillance is straight ahead with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrell, and Lisa Abramowitz. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.